We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time that we begin to understand that taking time for Jesus is the main event of our lives if we would understand it. Because without him in our lives, we'll be lost. We're still in our sins and in our transgressions. Jesus came into this world for the purpose to redeem us from the fall in the garden, where disobedience brought in sin and put us all in sin. Jesus came into this world when the Father spoke his word into the womb of the little girl Mary, and he became that he said as his son. And he came into this world to die for you and I. There's no question about it. If you just only believe what the Word of God says, that in the beginning God created all things. But in John, the first chapter, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The 14th verse said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But I just wonder why these people wants to make such an issue against actually the Word of God when they try to make it to be something other than what it is. God was manifested in the flesh. He was a spirit. You could not take a spirit and hang it on a cross or of any other nature. But he became flesh to where he could die. There's no blood in the spirit, and he could not put the stripes on his back as a spirit. But he suffered all these things, God in the flesh, done it for you and I. And then when he talked to the apostles, and he chose his apostles, and he preached unto them there, and his ministry started, and when he was 30 years old, and he preached unto them for 3.5 years. And as the scripture says, he was taken out from among the living. He was took out because Israel refused to have him, and they claimed Caesar for their king instead of the Lord. So they crucified him. But during the time that Jesus talked with them and walked with them around the shores of Galilee, he taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them the things at which end that they should know, and that they believed upon him as being the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but unto them that would receive him, he gave them power to become sons of God. And the power that he's speaking about came on the day of Pentecost. So as we go to prayer at this time, we want you to understand that without God, you're nothing. I am nothing. Without Jesus in our lives, and without him, we can do nothing. You may think that you're doing it on your own, but God's got a hand in it, my friend, whether you know it or not, or whether you want to believe it or not. Because when he takes his hand off of you and out of your business, you're going to fall, and the fall's going to be hard. So remember that as we go to prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and the blessings that you have placed in our lives. But thank you for that wonderful love, that you loved us enough that you became in a man that where you could come and die for our sins. We classified as our redeemer, our next of kin redeemer, which you came in to redeem man from where he had failed there in the garden. From disobedience, Lord God, the world is full of it. We just prayed, Lord, that you would help us in your way and in your will, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, would help us to bring forth and lift up your holy name, and bring into those that would have an ear to hear, that they may hear what the Spirit have to say. Lord, we just praise you, and we thank you for your everlasting love, and for that you done for us on Calvary's cross that we could not do for ourselves. There's nothing we could do to redeem ourselves from sin, but you came, Father, into the form of a man to die for our sins and redeemed us, giving forth there that now Christ in us the hope of glory, that whereby that the power of the living God dwells within us if we would receive it. So we just pray, God, that you would touch the ears to hear, and Help us, O God, to lift up your holy name, and that the world may hear, and they may come to thee before it's too late. Bless those that would hear. Bless them that have helped, blessed us along the way and wrote to us, and with our men and women that have come home from these wars and them that are still in foreign lands. We ask that you would help and bring forth some kind of understanding with people that these things that they're doing is not right. But we know that these things must be because it's waxing worse and worse, as you said. But we pray that you would help us to endure all things for thy name's sake and be faithful to thee unto the end. And we'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. But if you go into the book of Acts and in the there in the first chapter, and which where we'll be going to there, and Joel even made mention about the coming of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, even before it came in. So at this time, we want you to understand that the Bible is wrote by the prophets and the men of old, and there by the Spirit of God, that the Holy Ghost moved upon them and wrote it. It just wasn't some man just put together something in a book to make people feel good or whatever, but it's by the grace of God that we have the Word of God that will be our guideline if we would only be obedient to it and trust in it and believe what the report has been said. As Isaiah said, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah made the report about unto us a child is being born and a son is given. So you believe the report? The arm of the Lord was revealed in Christ Jesus. And we got to understand these things and believe upon the name of the Lord and call upon the name of Jesus before it's too late. My wife's got something other here. I'm going to give it to her, and she will do what the Lord has laid on her heart there. So here's my wife, Sister Sarah. Sister Sarah.
Why, just consider it an honor to be able to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart this week. It's that it'll be a blessing to you and draw you closer to the Lord. There's so many things happening in this ungodly world that we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, because one day he's coming, and I don't think it's going to be far off. There's a lot of people try to predict it. It didn't happen, but he said that no man knows when he will come. So I'm here to tell you, if anybody comes to you and tells you they know when the Lord is coming back, they are a false prophet. And I just pray that something will be said today in the message, and that it'll draw you closer to the Lord. It'll get you thinking about where you're going to spend eternity. And I thank everyone that has written to us, the emails we've gotten, and I'll share one with you in a few minutes. But first, I want to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart this week. It's from a magazine, and the name of it is I Am Not Forgotten. Waiting is hard at any time, but when days, weeks, months, even years pass and our prayers seem to go unanswered, it's really easy to feel that God has forgotten us. Perhaps we can struggle through the day with its distraction, but at night it's difficult. It's really difficult to deal with our anxious thoughts. Worries loom large and dark hours seem endless. Utter weariness makes it look impossible to face a new day. The psalmist David grew weary as he waited in Psalms 13, 1 and 2. He felt abandoned as if his enemies were gaining the upper hand. When we're waiting for God to resolve a difficult situation, it's easy to get discouraged. Satan whispers that God has forgotten us and things will never change. We may be tempted to give in to despair. Why bother to read our Bible, even pray? Why make the effort to sing and worship with fellow believers in Christ? But we need our spiritual lifelines most when we are waiting. They help to hold us steady in the flow of God's love and to become sensitive to His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The psalmist David had a remedy. He focused on all that he knew of God's love, reminding of past blessings and deliberately praising Jesus, who would not forget him. So we can, if we let the Holy Ghost lead us and guide us. The one who is patient is better able to deal with a difficult person without becoming provoked to anger or retaliation. God is worth living for and waiting for. His time is always best. We don't know his time, but you say, well, I asked for him yesterday. Well, I've done some things that, you know, I knew that I needed at that time, or I thought I did, but it didn't come to pass. A few days later, when I really needed it, I got it. And it was a blessing from God that he didn't give me what I wanted at the time I wanted it, but he gave it to me at the time that I needed it. And I want to share with you an email that we got on Take Time for Jesus. And you can listen and go in and listen to us 24/7 on www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. And just click on Take Time for Jesus and you'll see us in there. And you can go back to 2012. But here's an email that we received. It says, I have listened to y'all a long time. It is my favorite program, and I'm now having my whole family listen to you. Blessings in the way of our Lord. And I appreciate the one that sent that to us, and that we're praying for you, that God will meet your needs. And here's another one. Now by the time to speak up for Jesus and all he has done in my life, I want everyone to know him the way I do now, because the other way is so terrible. Are you leading a terrible life? And you need to turn it over to Lord Jesus Christ, and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. And if you would like to write to us, it would be greatly appreciated. Our address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. If you would like to help us, it would be greatly appreciated. We are self-supporting. The Lord supplies our needs, and so we're not like a lot of people to get on there and take 30 minutes to ask for money, but it would help. And if you would like to email us, it's more important to hear you an email. Let us know that you're listening and tell us what you like or what you don't like. It's fine. But the email address is ecomptons31@yahoo.com. That's ecomptons31@yahoo.com. We appreciate each and every email we get, and we pray for all those that we get. And like I said, you can go into www.phoenixbroadcasting.com 24/7, and you can listen to us there. And I appreciate each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you and take care of you is our prayer. And here is Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Yes, we do appreciate those that have wrote to us. And we appreciate the prayers of them that would pray. We know that there's many things that's been accomplished through prayer and seeking after God. If we ask him believing, we can receive what we ask for. A lot of people ask for things and they don't get it because they ask for amiss, because it's not something that they really need. But God's faithful to us and he blesses us. He loved us enough to die for us. And we got to realize that we're living now close to the return of the Lord. We got to understand that people have down through the years tried to predict when he's returning, he's coming again, and all these things and give dates and times, and you know for sure it hasn't happened yet, so consider them to be false prophets. My friend, no man knows, according to the scriptures in Acts 1 and 7, he said, and he asked unto them, and he said unto them, it is not for, after they had asked him, in the verse 6, he said, when, therefore, when you come together and ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou now restore the kingdom again unto Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. My friends, it's God is not telling us the day or the hour he come back, for the simple reason, if you knew when a burglar was going to break into your house, you'd be prepared for him and wouldn't suffer your house to be broken into. You'd be waiting for him. But he wants us to serve him with the anticipation that we're waiting upon him and his return. Waiting sometimes gets to be, as my wife said, it gets to be a pain, you might say. But when we wait upon the Lord, he said, them that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So we're waiting upon that time that he spoke of, that when Joel made mention about the coming of the Holy Ghost before Jesus suffered and died, he made mention about that the Lord would pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. So we got to realize that in the book of Acts, he brought forth these things, but before he ascended, he was buried, he was crucified, laid in a rich man's tomb, borrowed, and there, but he hung between two thieves. But one of them asked for forgiveness, and he told him, today, will thou be with me in paradise? My friend, we got to realize that God's word is true. If we don't believe what it says, then something other's wrong. I know there's a lot of people that claims to be atheists and they don't believe that this and they don't believe that. But I've heard stories to be told that some of them people that claims that there is no God, that they're atheists, and all these things, but will let something tragical happen to them, and they say, oh, God, have mercy. Well, if they don't believe in him, why call upon him? And if they don't believe that there's a God, why bother other people that does believe and worship God, like the prayer in the stools, and they got that took out and brought in the guns. So we got to realize that before the Lord ascended, he told them there, he said, go ye and tarry in the upper room. And there he showed himself to them for 40 days after he had rose, unfallible proof, and many witnesses there. At one time it was about 5,000 there, so that was there to witness to him that he had rose. My friend, today some people said God's dead, but he's not dead, my friend. He's still alive. Been talking to him today. I know he was there. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was with me. And I know that he hears me. And I believe that he is coming back one day. But when he told the apostles there, and that 120 people that was there, the men and the women, even Mary and Peter and John and them, and he told them, he said, tarry you in there in Jerusalem. In other words, don't leave Jerusalem, but you tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. We want to understand that waiting sometimes requires patience, requires the patience. If we, with our patience, we possess our soul. So we need to be patiently in waiting upon the Lord. We need to wait upon him, because he will one day will return. But if we wait for him and let his will be done in our life, during that time that we're waiting, he knows what your circumstances is. He knows all about you. He's not gone off somewhere another and left you alone. He said he would be with us. Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep, and he spoke all these things into existence. Now, he was a spirit. But when John spoke about the Word made flesh and dwelt among us in the first chapter of John, then Jesus came, and when he told the apostles there when it was time for him to ascend back into where he come from, he told them, he said, it's expediently, it's absolutely necessary for me to go away. For if I don't go away, the Spirit, but the Holy Ghost won't come. The Comforter won't come. But he said, if I go away, I will pray the Father, he'll send you another Comforter in my name. And he will come to you. But tarry you there. And they was there after he had seen them for 40 days. They went and tarried in the upper room for 10 days. My friend, and they didn't have TVs back then and radios and things. But they tarried there for 10 days awaiting upon the promise of receiving the Holy Ghost. And when that 10 days was up and they were praying and with supplication before God, the Bible says that there came the sound of a rushing wind and filled the room. Clothing tongues of fire set upon each and every one of them. Now you have some people said, there's no way that we could receive the Pentecostal experience because we didn't hear no sound of the wind. The wind didn't blow us over and they didn't see no fire setting on us and all that. Well, that was an evidence then that God brought forth. But my friend, we can have the Spirit of God to dwell within us. Without it, we're none of his. Because he plainly tells us, without my Spirit, you're none of mine. It was a promise to them, and they had to be, they seen these things, and when they began to speak in that heavenly language, everybody around could understand them, because you see, God's got control over the languages. He messed them up, the languages. He gave them all a different dialect and different language as the Tower of Babel there when they was going to build a tower into hell. And therefore, when Nimrod went and shot his arrow up in there as if to strike God to say, I'm bigger than you, God come down and messed them all up and scattered them. That wasn't what they was wanting to do, but that's beside the point. My friend, ever since that the time has begun when Adam fell in the garden, Satan has come in and tried to make man think that he was God himself. And we've got some of them that tries to be, to try to fulfill that, to even say that they're somebody special and they're God or something other. But I want you to think about it. The Spirit of God does not lead you in no such as that. It will lead you and guide you into the truth. We don't need to be taught by some of these here fanatics. Don't need to be jumping up and down and hooping and yelling and carrying on, knocking over the benches and everything. But the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. He'll bring you forth and he'll teach you what is and what ain't the will of God. He'll bring you to the place to where he will teach you to understand the scriptures if you'll just read it, understand it by the Spirit of God. The carnal man can't comprehend what God has for him, but the spiritual man inside of you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, can lead you and help you to understand and give you that ability to know what God's trying to tell you in the written letter. That's the way the apostles seen it. That's what they wrote to us. And many preachers today, they'll go from lid to lid trying to preach you an hour sermon from lid to lid to the Bible and picking out certain scriptures. And when it comes to it, you don't even know where sometimes they get lost themselves and they don't know what they're doing. So how can you follow them through with something like that? But if you just stick with what the Bible leads you to believe in, let the Spirit of God teach you. Take something other that God lays on your heart and follow it out. And you find out to yourself, just you and the Lord in a place that you're studying to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. It'll bring you to the knowledge of how and what it is to be. The Holy Ghost will guide you into it. Without it, nobody can do anything for God. It's the Spirit of God that makes us there. He said, not by power, not by might, but by Spirit, saith the Lord. And Joel said, it said, that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters, and they shall these things. So we need to look at the situation there as it is written in the Bible. You don't have to take my word for it, as I encourage you, read your Bible, see what it tells you. If you believe the Lord God Almighty, and if you believe what he has put in the book, the Bible, and use it as a guideline, it will bring you from here to glory. It will bring you to the place of wherein that you will know and understand the will of God in your life. When I was a young man, I didn't think I'd ever become a preacher. In fact, the business, when it come to my knowledge there was, and everything, I first run from it. I run all up and down the roads in a truck all across the country, backwards and forwards, until God got my attention. When he got my attention, he let me know that if I either do for him or he would just let me go. And my friends, I decided that it was better to serve him than to fight him. So I came to this place. I don't claim to be no great preacher. I don't claim to be no whatever that they might say, some theologian to tell you a whole lot of things and history and one thing or another. But I read the Word of God, and it finds there that even when the Lord told the 12 apostles there, he said, "Have I not chose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He was speaking about Judas Iscariot. And when he said that, and Judas was the one that betrayed him. But there in the scriptures there, before Peter and them was there together, and before that the Pentecost had fully come, they chose another one to take his place. And David spoke about these things. My friend, we need to understand God has not left you without understanding of it. He's proved it from lid to lid that he came in the volume of the book. He didn't just happen to step out one day and be there. He was there from the beginning to the end and all in the middle. He's going to be there from now on. One day he's coming back. And the foolishness of this world is going to cause a lot of people to be lost out, because the enemy of our soul, the God of this world, is done deceive so many people, and many of them claims that this and they claim that. And I've had people to come up to me and prophesy to me, "Thus saith the Lord," and they're going to do this and going to do that, and it's never come to pass. But the Bible calls them false prophets. As many of them has come along and said all kinds of things, and God hadn't said anything. There's some of them made God an extortionist and wanting money, and if he going to take them on to glory and all that stuff if they don't get all this money and everything. My friend, I'm not in it for your money. I'm in it to help win a soul for the kingdom of God, because Jesus is coming soon, and if you're not prepared to meet him and have your sins washed clean by the blood of the Lamb that John spoke about on the Jordan River, when John came as a forerunner of Jesus Christ, teaching them there and baptizing them unto repentance. But he said, "There's ones that come after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." And when he came in the presence there of John to be baptized, John said, "I need to be baptized of you." And he said, "Suffer it to be so that we fulfill all righteousness." So you see, my friend, it's come to the time that we got to rightly divide out God's word. We got to either believe it or we'll be cast into outer darkness. Believe what the scripture said. Read your Bible. See what it has to say. Now, when we know that these things have come to pass, and even in Acts 2 and 17, he said, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith the God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and on your sons and your daughters, and shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dream. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens and in signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon shall be turned to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to understand, when you call upon the name of the Lord in fear and repentance, he's not going to turn you down. He will receive you and he will bless you. He will come to you and he will bring forth salvation to the very essence of your soul. He wants to save us. It's not, hell was not prepared for the people of the world. It was prepared for Lucifer, his fallen angels there, because they went to think that they could overcome God and he could get to be the head man, but be God himself of the heavens and the earth. Well, he's the God of this earth, but he'll never be God of the heavens, because the God that reigns and rules in all things is the God that created the heavens. He even created Lucifer. He was the most beautifulest angel, according to Isaiah's writing, that he was beautiful there. He was perfect in all of his pipes. He was there, had a part of the morning, a third part of the angels, till he led them in a quest. I will ascend, and I will ascend upon the highest, and I will ascend upon the top, in other words. But he brought down low into hell. For, friends, it was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for us. But if you decide you want to go there, God will let you, but it's not his will. But he would that all men would repent. He died for your salvation. He died to bring you back into the place that we're in, that he could have fellowship with us. He died there for the purpose to bring us back out of sin into salvation. You know, in the garden with Adam, before he disobeyed that one thing, he come down in the cool of the evening and walked with Adam, and they had fellowship and commune with one another. But after Adam had disobeyed, then God came to him, but he asked him, and he was searching for him, and Adam had hid himself. That's what we're doing today. If we don't know the Lord, we try to hide ourselves from him and thinking that we're hid, but he knows where we at. He sees us all. He sees everything that's going on. I believe that in my heart. If it wasn't, I wouldn't say so. God is all-knowing and all-seeing. How else could you explain God creating the heavens and the earth? How these people in science, they try to say that they know how the earth was formed, but they're leaving God out of the equation, and he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. But I want you to think about it. There's been many people that said things that God didn't do, that God did do, and they've been trying to discredit God all because of their sins, because of their unbelief, their disobedience. The children today is disobedience to parents, and parents is rattling the kids' cage, you might say, and causing young'uns to do things that they might not do if they were just showed some kindness and some fellowship with one another. Show them that you love them. Bring them forth and teach them about the goodness and the blessings of God, and teach them to go to church and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit that God wants us to bring forth, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need this Spirit of God. We need this Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, to dwell in us, to bring us forth and teach us and bring us to the place to where we can believe and trust in the Almighty God. Many people today said, yes, I'm a Christian, but tomorrow on Sunday they go to church and they try to be so holy, and then Monday they get out there and ain't no telling what you're liable to find them doing if you watch them a little bit. That's not Christianity, my friend. They was first called Christians in Antioch there. And to be a Christian is to separate yourself from sin, not being a part of the world, but you're in the world, but you're not of the world. That's what Jesus prayed in the time that there when he prayed for the apostles, he prayed for us. A lot of people gets it mixed up for the prayer of our Father who art in heaven. That was him teaching them to pray. But when he prayed for them, he prayed that God wouldn't take them out of the world, but to keep them in the world. But they are in the world, but not of the world. And he prayed that the Father would keep them and direct them. So we need to understand, my friend, that God is God all over creation. He made everything. He created everything. and all these things that science tries to prove that somebody else, some other thing done this and done that, God spoke it and it came to pass. He created man in his own image and in his likeness. He spoke the word and all the animals and plant life and all the fish of the sea and all these things came forth. So it's by his spirit. So we need the spirit of God. We need this Holy Ghost that he spoke about that would come forth. And these days that we live are nigh into the coming of our Lord, the last days. If we need to be prepared for the things that is yet to come, for the trouble is not yet over with. The trouble is just beginning to get bad, and it's going to get worse. But I want you to understand, my friend, the only thing that we can do is rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and safe. He protected the children of Israel as there, and he led them forth. He guided them by the hand of Moses there, but he was guiding Moses. He led Moses, and Moses led the people. When he come to the Red Sea there, Moses done what God told him to. He lift up his rod, and the sea was departed. They came over on dry ground. Somebody, some little person said that the Red Sea was only ankle deep there where they crossed at. Well, this other man told him, he said, well, that was a miracle more than what it was. He said he'd taken ankle deep water and drowned the whole Pharaoh's army in it. So you see that people is going to make ridicule of you for being believing in the Lord. But nevertheless, if we be faithful to him and in the finalities of it, and we're in the bosom of God, we are safe and secure in the kingdom of God, and they be cast into outer darkness, where will they be then? They'll be without hope. They'll be lost into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And my friend, you can avoid that if you believe what the scripture says. Repent, as Peter said in the book of Acts, when he spoke about Acts 2:38, and they asked him, men and brethren, when they heard these marvelous, wonderful things that God had done through people of their own language, but difference in everything, they were all Galileans, and they was talking about the goodness and the mercy of God and all those other people that was there, different nations around about, heard them in their own language speaking about the wonderful things of God. And they began to wonder what was happening. One man said, oh, they're drunk. Peter said, men and brethren, this is only the third hour. They're not drunk. They didn't get drunk on the third hour. But anyway, he said, this is what the prophet Joel said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit. And these things have come to pass. Why worry about what somebody's going to say? You need to understand that you need to think about what will Jesus say when we come to stand before him on the day that we stand up before him and he comes. Will he say, enter in, or will he say, depart? I want to hear him say, enter in. But when that time when he appears in the clouds of glory, my friend, and that trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel, that even the them that have been dead in the tombs for all these years, I want you to know they're going to come forth first. Them that believed on him and died in Christ Jesus is going to come forth first. And even to them that remain to be alive, and it be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. My friend, we need to understand that we need this Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will help you to change this old earthly body into that new body. It brings forth that even like Jesus had when he come out of the tomb. He went in there as a fleshly body. He came out and they could see him. They believed him. They touched him. But he was a spiritual body. And that's what we want to have. Something other that means something other. Something that will endure to be in the presence, in the Shekinah glory of God. You can't do it, or I can't do it either, in this old earthly body. this old fleshly body would deteriorate, blow away. When Moses was up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments there, he came close to seeing God until he was face was illuminated, and the children of Israel said, put a veil over your face, Moses. That same veil is over their face today because they didn't recognize the Shekinah glory of God. They said that God, when he spoke to them out of the smoke of the top of the mountain there, they scared him so bad until they say, he tell you and you tell us, and we'll go from that. They didn't want to hear God's voice. They didn't want to obey him. They wanted to go another route, and they did. Oftentimes, they come short. But they've been cut off, my friends, and you and I had an opportunity to fulfill the prophecy that was said when God told Abraham, he said, out of your seed that all nations will be blessed. The children of Israel, Jesus told him, he said, the kingdom of God will be took away from you, this nation, and give to one that seeks not after me. The Gentiles was not God's chosen people to begin with. We were foreigners. We were nothing but no goods. But thanks be unto God that God had a plan and it followed through. He had to break off the natural branch to bring in the wild branch. And thank God, but he's going to come back to Israel. Israel's going to recognize him one of these days, and they're going to be saved. Maybe not all of them, but maybe all the Gentiles ain't going to be saved. But I want to be when that number that does. I want you to be there. I want us to enjoy the blessings of God in that new creation. You know, he speaks about the seven being a perfected number. Seven lamps, seven trumpets, and all seven bowls, and seven these things is a perfected number. God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But the eighth day, everything eight means that everything's going to be done, made new. It'll be a new beginning. So on the eighth day, if you want to look at it in that way, when Jesus comes and does away with all the sin, he said he was going to create a new heaven and a new earth where he indwelleth righteousness. You might look at it as that example of the eighth day, the new beginning. I want you to think about it, my friend. We're living close to the return of our Lord. All these things that are happening around and about us is not by just coincidence. It's bringing forth the near coming of our Lord and Savior. We got to understand the scripture says that when we see the abomination of desolate standing in the holy place, then we need to know that the time is that generation is not going to pass away until all things will be fulfilled. Well, they're going to rebuild the temple there in Jerusalem not too far down the road. I don't know exactly. I wouldn't try to put a time on it, but it seems that it's very dear to be done. But nevertheless, the man of sin won't be able to stand in the temple if there's not a temple there. My friend, but he told the angel told there John to measure the temple, but the courts without, don't measure it, because it was given unto the Gentiles, and they would trot it underfoot for 42 months. And them people that are claiming that it's theirs now, when the 42 months is up in God's prophetic time, they're going to be dismantled. They're going to be shut out. They're not going to inherit God's land, but he's going to bring his people into the place. But above all things, my friend, we need to be ready. We need to be faithful. We need to wait upon the Lord. As they did on the day of Pentecost, they tarried for 10 days waiting upon the promise. I'm waiting upon the promise to be fulfilled that Jesus said, if I go, I'll come again. Hallelujah. And he's coming back one day. He promised us we would, and I believe he's coming back one day. But he's come in the spirit. He dwells within us if we'll accept him and believe on him and call upon him. He said he would dwell in us and walk in us. The Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. He will lead us and guide us into all truth if we will let him. The Holy Ghost is nothing that some people wants to shun, but they do. But I myself believe that God intended for his people, them that would call upon him and believe in him and trust in him, I believe that he intended for us to have that inward dwelling of the Spirit of God within us. And of course, I believe it with all of my heart. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be telling you. I wouldn't have received it if I had not believed it. But I believe the report that's been given. Christ in us, the hope of glory. When Isaiah penned and asked him, he says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? I believe the full report from Genesis to Revelation, my friend. The arm of the Lord was revealed in Christ Jesus. He put a face on God. God manifested in the flesh, came and died on Calvary's cross. He was buried. He arose the third day. And 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended up into the clouds. And he left them there to tarry for 10 days. They tarried. They didn't leave Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God to come forth. And it came as it did, and it infilled them, and they gave them power to preach the word. Many of them was persecuted and beheaded even a much. And many of them was all kinds of things they suffered for his name's sake. You and I may have to suffer some things, my friend, for his name's sake. The time is coming when all these here radicals are going forth, as we see over there in the Middle East and around about. They're going to come against Jerusalem. They're going to come against God's people. And they're going to try to annihilate them, but they won't. Because God's not going to let him. He's going to step out one day and blow his breath on him, and it's all going to be over with. But I want you to think about it. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you waiting upon the Lord? Are you prepared to meet him when he should come at any time? As some people says he can, and well, he could at any time. But he's got a specifically time set aside. And when that time comes, he's going to come. And when that time comes, we need to be ready. I don't know the day or the hour. I don't know the season. We know the season by the budding of the tree. We know that these things, these wars, has been going on for years now. And we see that he said that in Matthew 24, he spoke about the wars and rumors of war, earthquakes and diverse places, and all these things are happening. But I want you to think about it. The time, the end is not yet. But by and by, it's going to happen. It's going to happen just as he said it would. When we least expect him, you see, the world's not expecting him. But he's going to come just like a thief in the night. He's not going to tell you the day and the hour to where you're waiting until the day before and then you try to get ready. Noah worked on the ark for 120 years and therefore, but when the flood came, the people didn't go in. They had the opportunity, but they didn't go in. But when the rains began to fall, no doubt that they began to pray, but their prayers were too late. The door of opportunity was shut. And when the Lord steps out and says, that's it, and the opportunity to get salvation is closed up to all of us, but it's going to be too late. It'll be too late to cry out, just like it was in Noah's day, just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were told, but they didn't believe. They went ahead with all of their corruption in their minds and their hearts to do the evil things that they were doing, and God destroyed them. Same way it's going to be with this world today. He flooded it out one time, but he promised Noah that it wouldn't be flooded with the world again. But he's kept in reserve that day with the fire. And God's going to destroy it. He's going to burn it up. He's going to purge it. Ain't but one way you can get rid of everything and leave nothing. And that's through the fire. And he's going to purge it and burn it up. Then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And my friend, if you want to be in that part of that new heaven and new earth, you need to do as the Bible says. Peter said on the day of Pentecost when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved? And Peter said, repent. You got to repent. Mm-hmm. Just raising your hand and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and somebody tell you you're on your way to heaven. Don't get it. You got to repent. You got to call on the name of the Lord Jesus in repentance, believing upon him. Oh, my friend, it's time we begin to realize that the time is running short. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will let you know. He will show you in the Scriptures, if you read it and believe it. He will bring you to the knowledge of God's Word, to wherein that you know that the time is coming close. Our Lord is going to come forth one of these days when you least expect it. As I said, the world is not looking for it. But he's coming one day. I'm looking for him. I don't know the day and the hour, but I'm looking for him. I'm waiting upon him. I'm trying to win a soul for the kingdom of God. I'm trying to persuade you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Because without him, we're lost. If we don't have that blood of Jesus applied to our sins and washed whiter than snow, though our sins be red like crimson, they can be whiter than snow, only through the blood of Jesus, only through his grace, his love, that he loved us enough, showed unto us his love when he stretched out his arms there on the cross and showed the world that he loved them and he died for us. Oh, what else could we say, my friend? Read your Bible. What could we do to persuade you that we haven't already done? Oh, you can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. If I had millions and millions of dollars, it wouldn't do me a dime's worth of good to try to rely upon that to get me into the kingdom. We got to repent. We got to be born again, as he told Nicodemus. And he was one of the Pharisees there. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he was in the temple there. He come to the Lord and asked him how that he could enter in, and he told him, you must be born again. He thought, well, how can a man when he's old enter the second time into his mother's womb? That's foolish to even think about. That's carnal. That's a natural thing, to being born of a woman, but he can't do it the second time around. But he said, born of the water and of the Spirit. You got to believe in God. That's the new birth that he's speaking about. Born again of the water and of the Spirit. You need to call upon him. You need to trust in him. Believe on him. Let him come into your life and cleanse you from your sin. Separate you from him and turn around. Do a 180-degree about face and turn around and walk away from sin and let Jesus lead and direct you in the way that you should go. It's time we got to call upon the name of the Lord with faith, believing and trusting in him. Believe that he sent his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, back to lead us and to guide us. But he can't lead you and he won't guide you except you believe in and trust in him. Read your Bible. Find out for yourself firsthand, believing and calling upon the name of the Lord in repentance, receiving of his Spirit, that he'll walk in you, direct your path, and help you to overcome the things of the world, that the pleasures of life and the things that would be detrimental to you and cause you to fall by the wayside. He'll lead and direct you. He will be a light under your feet, and he'll bring you to the glorious truth of God's word if you'll only let him. But you're going to have to let him. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. But in the finalities of it, if we don't love him and as he's loved us, and if we don't call upon him and have our sins washed whiter than snow, and if we don't have him in our life, when the final comes of it and he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You wish then that you would have called upon him long ago and had waited for the promise. Oh, my friend, it's time that we should wait upon the Lord, and we can renew our strength. He said we could mount up on wings as eagles. We could run and not go weary and walk and not faint, but we can't do it by ourselves. But with the Spirit of God in us, he will renew us from day to day. And we just need to understand, as I often say, pray that God will lead you. Read your Bible. Let's pray one for another. And as we see these things happening and the time coming close to his return, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and live a godly life. Get out of these here honky-tonks and drinking and foolishness and all these things that will be detrimental to you and bring you into captivity by the hand of Lucifer, the devil, the god of this world. And let the God of creation, our Heavenly Father, renew you, restore you, and bring you forth into salvation. It's only in the name of Jesus, for there's no other name given among men whereby that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. So may God bless you and keep you is our prayers. You pray for us, and if you want to write to us, address has been given. We're not taking the whole time to beg you for money, but if you, as my wife said, if you feel led of the Lord to help us, it'll be appreciated. But we're not doing it for wealth of this world. We're doing it for the kingdom of God and for the win of soul for God's kingdom. So that's the most important thing. May God bless you until next time. Keep us in prayer and take time for Jesus. And may God richly bless you. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.